It's time now for the Dr. Corey Gold radio program on KSCO. If you'd like to participate in today's program, call us at 831-479-1080. That's 479-1080. Here now is your host for today's show, Dr. Corey Gold.
Good afternoon and welcome. Hi, everybody. Dr. Corey Gold. Glad to be with you here. KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1080. And thanks all of you who are listening on the internet at KSCO.com. Very excited this afternoon. I'm always very excited, but I'm especially excited today, as I've been telling you for the last few weeks, that we have Alex Jones here, the host of KSCO, doing a presentation at the Coconut Grove. Last night was unbelievable. Over the top, over 800 people for 4 hours. To listen to Alex Jones do one of the most incredibly exciting and captivating and interesting conversations I've ever attended live. And he's going to be there again tonight, another sold-out crowd at the Coconut Grove. And we're lucky to have him with us in studio today. A lot of you know him. He's airs live on our sister station, KOMY, between 9 and noon. He plays here on the replay at KSCO between 7 and 10. He's the most listened to talk show personality on all of the internet today. His videos and recordings have been seen by hundreds of millions of viewers around the world. He's considered to be probably the most, I guess, provocative person in all of the media today. And I'm happy to have with us my friend Alex Jones. Alex Jones, welcome.
Dr. Gold, I better do a good job here the way you built me up.
Well, I felt we only had an hour, so I only had a 10-minute introduction for you there.
Okay. Oh, man. No, it's good to be here. It's good to be here. And wonderful folks here in this town. So beautiful. Great people. Great people here at the station. This is what a talk radio station, news station is really supposed to be about.
One of the most exciting things after you being on the air after you having that live show for 4 hours last night, a number of us went out to dinner last night to one of the local diners. And a number of people who had been in the crowd of your presentation were there. They didn't know us, but they knew you. And they were like on a buzz. It was like we could hear the conversations around the table. And those people were just absolutely still electrified by your conversation. And they were trying to, you know, put it together in their heads what you had said and how you said it and what it means to them in their life. How does it feel to me to know that you're affecting so many people so profoundly?
Well, I mean, to be honest, sometimes I'm on, sometimes I'm off. But I mean, last night, Aaron Dykes, who's been in the last 5 years at many of my speaking engagements, he thought that was one of the best speeches I ever gave. So who knows if it'll be that focused this coming up this evening? But I'll try. I'm a little bit tired, but it actually, I talk about being humbled. If I give you an honest answer, I like it, but I don't like it because I don't have this big high mighty view of myself. In fact, I just realize how wonderful and dynamic all humans are and what our potential for good and bad is. And that's what scares me. We've been taught that we don't have this potential for good. We've been taught basically that we are bad so that we'll just accept all these evil people running things. And really the system tries to disempower, individuals, but I know I do have a growing responsibility, as we all do, in these serious times that we face, to do the best job I can. And it was just great and humbling to meet all those wonderful people from the area.
By the way, we're at 831-479-1080. If you were at the event last night or if you want to make comments, whether you're a fan of Alex Jones or you have comments one way or the other, we'd love to hear about how you feel he's impacting your life, how he's impacting politics, how he's impacting the conversation. I think it's for the positive. I always say that on my show that, you know, before you say no to somebody, you have to know what you're saying no to. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people when they tell me about you. They say, well, I'm not a fan, or I am a fan. I say, if you're not a fan, why? They never know. And that's what bothers me.
Well, I mean, my style can rub people wrong. But the thing about my radio show is it really is real. It's not scripted. And so – One day, you know, I'm dynamic and focused and make a lot of really good points. Some days it's kind of in between. Some days it's, you know, not so good, but it's real. And you know, one day you're going to hear a guest on with a view that's 180 degrees different from the guest that's on the next day. So it's not just some canned orthodoxy. It's kind of like KSCO and the shows I've heard here where, you know, it's just a larger open debate and discussion. I mean, certainly there's my view and the things I'm covering, you know, dealing with tyranny and how we should rediscover the Bill of Rights culture, but I mean, a lot of it's also the guests we bring on, and then listeners, even though these are diverse guests from across the political spectrum, you still hear a lot of the same major themes running throughout it, because it overall, the truth is on my radio show. I'm not saying the absolute truth or that everything we talk about is 100% right. It's just that a theme emerges that this planet is in serious trouble, but at the same time, there's a great awakening happening, so it's the best of times, the worst of times.
Now, a lot of people, when they come off listening to your radio show, feel like a little bit of hopeless. Other people feel very positive. What's the central message you want to give? We're in a hopeful situation?
We're in very, very serious straits. But if we recognize what is behind those problems and take action against them, we have hope. And so, really, it's very positive, as Patrick Henry said, to know the whole truth of the situation to make preparations for it. Because the truth is the truth. The truth is out there even if you live in denial. And so it's very positive to admit, you know, let's say if you're an alcoholic or whatever, that you've got a problem and you need to stop. Or, you know, if you're, you know, doing bad things in your marriage or your life, to admit it's wrong and to stop. And it's the same thing in our society and our culture. And some days I'm not so much depressed, but in a negative, dark mood. And then other days, you know, I'm in more of a positive mood. So I guess that can reflect on how people get different messages from the show because, again, it's not choreographed. It's not really scripted. I mean, I'll read a bunch of news articles and legislation, and basically whatever I'm upset about, I cover. What my guests are upset about, I cover. What callers call in with, I can take a call, and for the next 2 hours, it changes the whole discussion. I mean, it's really just a free-for-all.
No, I listen to your show every morning, and I comment on it a lot, and I ask people to listen to you in the evening here at KSCO, and I'm a big fan. I don't always agree with you, by the way, but I'm a big fan. But the reason I don't always agree with you is because I've done research and I come up to different conclusions. But that's cool because it forces me to go look at things.
Well, that's what it's about. I just want people to know we all look through a rose color darkly. You know, we all only have limited perspective. But the perspective widens when you have serious debates and talk about these issues. And I can have the conclusion I come to. But what people always find is I'm covering something real that's happened or gone on. I'm never lying to anybody. And I'm seeing it from my perspective. And then people go and look up what I'm saying, and they may come away with my perspective or something similar or something different, but they still find that core issue that we're discussing is real.
Now, one of the things that when I listen to your show, when you talk about a lot of times the globalists and how they're conspiring against basically everybody else, and then globalists would be a small group of people and everybody else is us. And one of the things you always talk about is how they kind of let us know what's going to happen in advance by telling us. Why do they do that?
Well, they've learned that if they completely cover things up, the truth has even more power against them. And so it's kind of like they're in a dark room and they know we've got candles. But we've got our candles lit at one corner of the room, really showing people what's important in the dark. They kind of turn on a Ferris wheel on the other side of the dark, you know, cavern to get everybody looking at that. Don't look over there what they're illuminating. Kind of look over here. And so they can kind of roll things out in their own way and put their spin on it of, you know, why they're doing this for your own good. I mean, that's a weird analogy, but that's basically what they're doing. It's revelation of the method. They know that. Well, I mean, here's an example. They have direct statistical analysis. The government, major universities have done the studies. Anybody can pull them up. That with the advent of television and people seeing violence, if somebody saw blood drip out of someone's mouth in a Western in the 50s, it was censored from television. People would be shocked by that. Not because they were wimps, but because in their life, anytime they really saw blood dripping out of somebody, it was real, and they associated it with this isn't a good thing. But today, 60 years later, most people have seen hundreds of thousands, and folks that play video games, it gets into the millions, you know, after decades of simulated murders, death, killing, slaughter, to the point of people are so desensitized when they see real death or some guy who's been hit on the side of the road, he's bleeding to death, and people just drive by because their subconscious brain just associates it like it's television, like it's not real. And so that's kind of what the globalists are doing. They're coming out with their information, putting a spin on it, but announcing a lot of what they're doing, but putting a spin on it that, well, it's overall for your own good. And no matter how outrageous it is, it still, at a subconscious level, conditions us and acclimates us to accept it. And so that's basically what's going on. I try to get people to break out of their trance and cognitively and at an intellectual level really assess what's going on and to try to get out of that mind-numbed kind of suspended disbelief psychological area that they are in.
By the way, we're at 831-479-1080. My guest is Alex Jones, a fellow talk show host at KSCO and KOMY. Let's take a call or two. So what they have to say here. Let's go out to Gary in Santa Cruz. Gary, welcome. You're on with Alex Jones.
Hey, guys. Hey, that was a great speech you gave last night, Alex. I've never seen you speak live, and you're definitely a little more powerful than you are in front of than you are on the microphone on the air. I wanted to ask you guys, I think it's a very interesting duo you guys got here to really have a great conversation. My aunt was trained by the ADL, and she's worked closely with AIPAC, and she wrote some scathing articles on you for, I think it was called the Ventura County Conservative Examiner. And she wrote this article claiming, she is so vehemently anti, she calls us conspiracy theorists, anybody that believes that the Federal Reserve is bad. She calls them anti-Semitic. And she wrote an article claiming that you were an anti-Semite. And I know that you do a really good job at distancing yourself from any type.
Well, I just did 3 hours of radio and didn't talk about black people or Jews or anybody else.
Right.
The issue is, that's what liberals do. So-called liberals is they always inject race and religion into things like, oh, you don't want government health care. You don't want socialism. When you call Obama a socialist, that's code for racism. I mean, that's what I've seen Chris Matthews of Slimeball. He will sit there every night, every time I watch, which is only about once a month, every time I'm walking around at the office and it's on TV in the coffee room or whatever, the break room, and it's the same thing. And it's all those hosts, Rachel Maddow, all of them. I mean, you don't want to have gun control. You're a racist. What does that have to do with any of it? And so, but then there's another side to it. Hal Turner, who I exposed more than 10 years ago as being an FBI operative, I mean, you could just tell he was, and he was attacking me every week, this just super Nazi guy. And then it came out he was highest level FBI informant setting people up. It was all a big act. So they have people like Hal Turner come out and talk about the Federal Reserve and talk about the New World Order and say it's all Jews and Jews are evil and Jews run everything, to then try to inject that into the political debate, just like in Kentucky and New Mexico. It's been all over mainstream news. They got caught in the last year during the primaries having Democrats go dress up and wear racist shirts and say racist things about Hispanics, Jews, you name it. And then they get caught as operatives. I mean, this is so simple. And then you've got well-meaning people. I don't think she's, evil. I don't know your aunt. I didn't read the articles. Well-meaning people who buy into this and then go out and parrot it and repeat it. And then that gives it street cred locally. But you know what? It just doesn't matter to me at the end of the day. I'm against government-run health care. It has nothing to do with black people. I'm against, these mega banks robbing and looting and all of this stuff. People want to inject into it, again, religious or racial issues. That's their problem. I mean, I'm here saying I don't want the dollar devalued, and I don't want to, bail out all these mortgage-backed securities for the second time, and I don't want carbon taxes. And again, instead of talking about those issues now, and see, you're just trying to defend me, and I understand it, we're now here discussing this. They want to get us off issue. We come and say, we want local control. We want the Constitution. We want lower taxes. And they say, and you learn that at your Klan meeting. No, right. If you go to a Klan meeting, it's a bunch of feds. It's sick.
Hey, Gary, I wish the Jews were in control of a bunch of things because I'd have a lot more goodies than I have. So if they're in charge of everything, I'm not getting my share. That's all I can say.
Right.
And by the way,
I haven't gotten any perks from myself.
Everybody listening to the show knows I'm Jewish, and I parrot the same type of things that he's talking about right now are the same things I have on my show. So yeah, I think they're trying to play different groups off of each other, and they're trying to
have people posing as racist, going and putting out the message of liberty. I mean, how simple is that? I mean, that's really simple to understand.
What bothers me the most is the fake racist, the race baiting that goes on. It's just the divide and conquer mentality. It is so, it's just so scientific now. And, through my research, I found out that the ADL was actually formed to protect certain gangsters back during Prohibition by calling anybody who was going to investigate Meyer Lansky and some of the gangsters in New York by calling them anti-Semites. And it's just this way that criminals use.
And that was actually smart. That was actually smart, and that's actually true. And if the Italians would have done that in the 50s, they had J. Edgar Hoover, because every group has mafia. And this is on record. J. Edgar Hoover got before Congress and said La Cosa Nostra doesn't exist, and he used the term conspiracy theory. And if the Italian mafia would have been smart, they would have gone out and said you're anti-Italian if you do this. But it's actually true to a certain extent that the big, powerful, skull and bones WASP mafia did actually go after some of the other mafias when they were in wars and did sic the police on them, and there actually was some racial elements. I mean, like most Americans today, when you talk about gangster or mafia, you think of a guy from The Sopranos, because Hollywood plays along with that. But from my study of organized crime, Italian mafia started to challenge the WASP and Jewish mafia, which are actually more teamed up together, and so they went in and kind of blew them away. So if you really want to know what's going on there, that's the truth.
The Christian identity movement is very interesting. Also,
Gary, you got three questions.
You got loaded phone lines.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. No. Gary, I love Gary. Gary's wonderful. But Gary can do 2 hours of show with us here. But we got a bunch of other people at 831-479-1080. No disrespect, Gary. Love you. But other people have good questions as well. Let's go out to Daniel in Santa Cruz. Daniel, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well, Daniel.
Awesome. Hey, I was at the show last night. I thought it was great.
Great, thanks.
It was good to finally see Alex live. Alex Jones, I got a question for you. I just recently, last Friday, I watched a show. Can't remember what channel it was on, but it was Jesse Ventura's new show, Conspiracy Theory.
Yes.
I wonder what you thought about that.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a consultant on the show. I am in some of the upcoming episodes, but by consultant, they're like, hey, what do you know about this? Is this true? Can you help us with that? And I like the show. I think it overall gets people thinking. To make it on television, and it is getting very good ratings, the top ratings on True TV last season, I haven't seen them yet on this one. They do kind of have the announcer, going Plum Island, because I did watch a little bit of it last
season,
the first one, and is the Montauk Monster involved?
You sound like him. That was pretty good.
They actually looked at me doing the voiceover for it, but I didn't. They didn't use me. I didn't ask for it either. They were just like, could you give us some liners and, a harp? When pointed at the ground, it causes earthquakes. When pointed at the sky, it causes storms. Tonight, Jesse Ventura, Navy SEAL, governor, fighter.
That was awesome.
So, Daniel, that was your
me, what do you think of the show?
I thought it was pretty well done. I thought it was like what you were just doing. They got some music in the background, and it's like, dun-dun-dun. But very well made, and, for what I know, the facts are, pretty right on. So, yeah. I think it's pretty good.
I mean, it's got some melodrama attached to it, but I mean, it wouldn't make it on TV if they didn't do that.
Right.
All right. Hey, Daniel, thank you so much for coming last night. Thanks for calling in today.
All right. God bless you guys.
All right, Dan, you too. Back at you. 831-479-1080. We're back after these short breaks.
Montauk Monster on Conspiracy Theory tonight.
I lost that love before, got mad and closed the door.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross. Here's Pamela with your health coverage tip of the day.
Remember the Boy Scout motto, be prepared? When it comes to your health insurance, being prepared is rule number one. You can't buy car insurance after you're in a car wreck. You can't buy fire insurance after your house burns. And you can't purchase a health plan after you become sick or injured. So rule number one is be prepared. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. I will help you find the best coverage at the most affordable rates, so give me a call and be prepared.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
When 33 Chilean miners were trapped in a hole 1/2 mile below ground, some believed their fate was sealed while more hopeful and creative Chileans put together a plan that would have them out by Christmas. In the end, an enlightened Chilean president who was willing to partner with free enterprise business dug the miners out well before Halloween. I am Jeff Taylor. I want to be your congressman, and I want to provide that kind of enlightened leadership here on the Central Coast. Weak leadership has dug America into a tremendous economic hole. But with new leadership, we can work our way out. The rescue of 33 Chilean miners was a testament inspired by leadership. When government works alongside a business and the two maintain a healthy relationship, miracles can indeed happen, and the American dream can be restored. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress, and I'll bring enlightened and accountable leadership to you. I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. We're realizing the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, their health. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Tim from Tim's Auto Electric.
And this is Michelle from Full Metal Jacket Automotive. We'd like to invite you to join us in our radio show, Driver's Seat. We're going to have all kinds of informational stuff about automotive questions you can call in and ask. We're going to have trivia questions you can call in if you answer them. We've got great prizes and just generally a really great time and lots of fun on the radio.
Just take your place in the driver's seat.
Driver's Seat on Wednesdays from 7 till 8 p.m. here on KSCO.
Join us on Wednesday night in the driver's seat.
Welcome back, Dr. Corey Gold. Guess all the music didn't want to play today, but we're here anyway, Doctor, with Alex Jones. We're at 831-479-1080. A lot of you know Alex Jones. He plays on our sister station, KOMY, at 9 in the morning from 9 to noon. Plays here on KSCO in the evenings from 7 to 10. He's our guest here of the station. Last night he was at the Coconut Grove to a sold-out, completely sold-out crowd of over 800 individuals. He'll be doing the same tonight. And we'll be back with you and to your phone calls. Let's go out to Nick in Santa Cruz. Nick, welcome. Nick.
Hey, guys. Auric points for peace. I've got tickets for tonight. I'm totally stoked about going. I had a question for Alex about mind control. I've got some of my friends here in Santa Cruz are liberals, and it seems like they're so...
Nick, I have to put you on hold for a second there while the board op figures out what's going on. Believe it or not, Nick, while you were talking, Dr. Joe Wallach was also talking in the background over there. So we're going to see if we can't fix that right now.
Well, one reason is there's probably about 30 people off and on descending on the station down here.
I think Mick had his radio on in the background.
Oh, Mick, did you? Nick, let's try you one more time, Nick. If you have your radio on the background, could you turn it off?
No, my radio switched off. Can you hear me?
2552. That's 888.
Nick, hold on one second. Let's try. Let's take the same thing happen. Scott, what's up with you?
Okay, am I coming through?
You're coming through fine. We'll put Nick on hold and go to Scott. Scott, welcome.
Okay. No Wallach in the background.
No, that's disturbing. I love Joe Wallach, but only one at a time.
Me too. One at a time. It was really nice meeting you today, Corey.
Well, same here.
It was, you know, finally putting a face to the voice, and I've seen Alex on his web show, so I know what he looked like. Question for both of you, and then I'll take my answer on the radio. The spiritual ramifications for this new world order. If you look at television, it's basically a gigantic hypnotizing device that right. has everybody watching it under this mind control, which is, I think, what your other person might be wanting to talk about. Then you've got these programs feeding him this bogus information about this world, about people, about the mind of human beings. And if the mind is one of the most powerful things on this planet, that anything that we can think of manifests itself, do you think that this hypnotic device of television is being used in conjunction to bring about total destruction on this planet, particularly when we have so many people focusing on the world's going to end on 2012? Thanks for the show, Corey.
All right, Scott, thank you.
Well, I tend to agree with you. They are trying to manifest death and destruction so that people give up their survival instinct and see the end of the world as a foregone conclusion, so people just lay down because they think it's a done deal. And I happen to be a Christian myself, but I've studied the Bible, and, you know, this whole thing about the rapture, I mean, in Revelations, that's after the Armageddon and after the devil's thrown into the pit that happens. But they've been teaching for 150 years or so that don't get involved, Christians, because you're going to be teleported up to the starship Enterprise by Scotty up there. You know, beam me up, Scotty. And for New Agers or agnostics or people who aren't religious, the globalists have created this 2012 thing. Notice in conjunction with their global banking collapse, they planned back in the 70s, Trilateral Commission, that's public. This has all been engineered. So that, well, if you're not a Christian and laying down because it's the end of the world, well, now, you're just kind of a New Ager or somebody who isn't even religious. It's just, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. And then we see the government building bunkers and putting troops on the streets and admitting that there's a collapse, and then that adds to it. Well, I guess 2012's real. No, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that's been engineered by design. And to sum it up, it's so people say, oh, the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket anyways. Yeah, end of the world, Nostradamus, Armageddon, 2012, Mayan calendar. I'm going out and getting drunk.
Yeah, the Mayans knew so much that we don't know where they are today. So we got to be very careful on that. The Mayans were so great, but they've disappeared. So one of the things that's interesting is one of the things that you talk about in your show a lot is that the globalists have been plotting this for a long period of time. And I know if my popcorn isn't ready like in 2 minutes, I'm like impatient about it. They seem to have this infinite amount of patience for this like 2 year, like 100 year timeline.
All right, well, let me explain that. And that's a really, really good question. When I've been sitting up for 4 or 5 hours, I like to do this. Is this all right? Just because I get sick of sitting and hunching over the microphone, I'm going to lean back here. Seriously.
Make yourself comfortable, my friend.
All right. Well, thank you. This is not a stunt putting my feet up on the counter. I always, when I get off the air, for at least 20 minutes, I just stick my feet up because it just gets tiring having them down on the ground. That was a very important question he had, Corey. Throw it at me again.
Well, I said, like, a person like myself, when I'm sitting at the microwave, 2 minutes seems like a long time. But when we talk about the globalists, we seem like they have this 200-year timeline. They're plotting things out over time.
Okay. Royalty. The House of Windsor.
Sure.
Now that name's only 100-something years old because the British started to complain and say, we don't like the fact that we have a German royal family running England. The British line died out. They had cousins that were in Germany. They brought over King George I, King George II, King George III. People didn't like it, so they said, we're now Windsors. We're not Saxe, Coburg, Gothas. Okay, which is also the Dutch royal family. It's just all one group. And the Czars were their cousins. That's why you could take the British king and the Tsar Nicholas, and they were almost identical. I mean, they were like body doubles because they were like a breed of dog. It's like, breeding the same chihuahuas together and getting the same look. But when you look at that, people say, well, how could they keep this going for hundreds of years? Well, it's an institution, and there's the families and elites that grow up around that imperial institution. And so you can have a royal line that is conservatively in England 1,500 years old. and they still have incredible power, wealth, you know, owning giant oil companies, diamond mines, you name it.
Right. But the plan, you say, is like, okay, we're starting in 1970, but in 2010, we're going to implement this portion. So they see that far into the future what they
want.
Well,
to be clear, I mean, that is there. The Trilateral Commission, it's public. That's how I could say 15 years ago what was going to happen. And people are like, how do you know? They're going to create global currencies, regional currencies. They'll have the currencies fight with each other. They'll have a currency war. They will then coordinate the devaluation of those and then call for a new solution, a global cashless currency. 1970s. You know, the Pentagon admits they work in 25-year increments. Zbigniew Brzezinski's written two books and talked about it. Alvin and Heidi Toffler, you know, wrote books about it. They're in 25- and 50-year plans, and so the elite are already in control of the major institutions. They're already in control of most of the wealth, but they don't completely control the entire planet. They're able to nudge it and steer it, and so they're always trying to fine-tune with their futurists and think tanks and scientists to get the best systems of consolidation and control. And that's why they've got global adoption of the universal barcode, global adoption now of the RFID, and they have big UN consortium meetings where they openly say how they're doing this to track everything in real time, to knock out, you know, any type of black market economy, to totally control societies. You know, they have smoking bans that are implemented worldwide the same way as a beta test. We'll take something that's popular, you know, to shut down and then test a global rollout of propaganda. And as their propaganda works, they'll keep going with it. As it doesn't work, they'll retweak it. It's just like a university. You can have a university like Yale that's, you know, 300 years old or Harvard that's hundreds of years old, and the institutions go down the line, and they've got nepotism and cronyism, and the CIA comes out of Yale and on record and is set up, and it's kind of the blue bloods on the East Coast, that mafia, one of the most dominant mafias, itself on record allied with British intelligence. Itself intermarried with a lot of the British nobles. You've got Cecil Rhodes, who owned the big diamond mines in Rhodesia, openly creating the Rhodes Scholarship, writing books about how he wanted world government and how they were going to get all the best and brightest minds. And so basically, if you had to be simplistic, they took the British Empire model. And about 100 years ago, they were facing major resistance. And they said, how do we, with a tiny military compared to all these hundreds of millions of people we're dominating, how do we continue this? And they got better at covert control from behind the scenes through basic culture manipulation. And so you ask, how does all this continue down the line for so long? It's because the grandson of an elitist now sits at the head of whatever sector of this corporate imperial empire, you know, that his great-great-granddaddy helped develop, and he knows his son, Junior, or his daughter is going to sit in that position or rise up through those ranks. So there's an incentive to keep the system going.
Now, was in this theory, which would be, would Hitler have been a rogue element, or was Hitler a planned element?
Hitler was not, and this is on record, Hitler was not controlled by British and U.S. intelligence. Hitler was set up as what they call a wind-up toy. They psychologically profile him, Lord Milner, in 19...
So that's why the guys walk that way, I guess, the goose-step guys.
Yeah, exactly, wind-up toys. They said, all right, Germany's not going to like these reparations of Versailles. They're going to get angry. And British intelligence went in, this is on record now, and helped finance the different groups. And Lord Milner wrote about, at the end of World War One in 1919, he said, we need to build up Germany again after all this happens, build them up, have them attack Europe, but we've got all our intelligence agents totally infiltrated into these groups, so we'll control things from the inside. Not completely control it, but have spies so that we can get everybody to accept the British Empire worldwide because, you know, it was basically fighting with Germany. And of course, you know, even before World War One, there was a true power split. I mean, the elites have their systems of control over the population, but they're always competing with each other over who gets the levers. And, of course, there was that big rivalry between Germany and England, even though the same bloodlines were running the system, with Kaiser Wilhelm and others, and his cousins were over there. And that's why you then had the British king who had to advocate, supposedly because he married a divorcee. It's on record with him with Hitler, you know, heiling Hitler over in Germany, and that he was pro-Nazi. So you also had that British faction who were Nazis, just like you had Smedley Butler, the two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner, Marine Corps Major General, who the Bushes and others came to, the Harrimans and others, in the 1930s, and said, we want you to lead a group of 500,000 men to basically have a Nazi takeover of the U.S., and we're going to link up with Hitler. So there were several different stratas to all of this, but then it was so sophisticated with the groups allied with Churchill and FDR and others that they basically allowed these groups to think they were going to win, but the whole time they had all their groups infiltrated. I mean, these guys are playing at very high levels. I mean, it's very, very sophisticated.
I better stick to Pac-Man. Let's head out and talk to Philip. We'll try you again, Phil. Philip, welcome.
Hey, it's Philip from Live Oak.
How you doing?
Alex, enjoying the show. I'm just going to get right to the question. I remember doing a lot of these discussions in college because I'm an engineer and inventor, and a lot of this stuff is really coming down to efficiencies in the market. I mean, we're seeing that all around us, you know, from strawberry pickers and from new checkout stations, and we're eliminating more and more jobs. I'm not ever heard you discuss this on your show. You know, what are we going to do about all this? I mean, we have so many people that are being put out by their – not going to have jobs anymore because – just new efficiency in the market. Where are we going to get these people to do service jobs when the service jobs are being eliminated right in front of our eyes?
Well, the issue here is, and again, a very sophisticated question, so how do you even go into it with any scope? The globalists lied to us and said NAFTA and GATT was going to help us and that we would be a new service economy, but in their internal white papers that are legion, they knew it was going to lead to this. And I go back to Bill Joy and his article, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us, back in April of 99 in Wired Magazine. And he said, I've been doing a meeting with 200, you know, top computer elitists, billionaires. He himself at the time was worth about $4 billion, you know, co-founder and owner of Sun Microsystems. And he said, you know, the elite is having a discussion about are they going to give us games to play and things to do and little petty jobs, or are they just going to kill everybody? And so, yeah, you can call it efficiencies in the market. This has all been actuaried out. This has all been planned out. And if the globalists wanted to allow us to go forward into the future, they would have taught us to value local produce and local quality, not all this Chinese, you know, crud and things that don't work and toxic toys. And the rest of it. And the truth is, if you look at big agribusiness and a lot of the statistics there, it's not actually that efficient, and it's not actually that good, and it's actually more destructive to the environment. But the system pushes that because it vertically integrates control, as the United Nations has said at many of its conferences, including the 1996 conference, or was it 97 conference, on population in Beijing, where the head of the UN food program said we are using food as a weapon, or the CIA and State Department Memorandum 200 from 1973 saying we're going to use war, famine, vertical integration of food production to forcibly starve people. We are now coming into that phase. And so they can sell you all day on this is just efficiencies in the market. They want efficiencies so they can efficiently track the societal movements so they can consolidate power and control and render us down to servile creatures who have no independence.
But how can you stop all the engineers and scientists that are continually invent new products that are going to give more and more efficiencies? Because I remember these calculations back in the early 70s, and they said about 2020 we're going to have this, you know, whole change of the industry just because of robotics and computers.
Now, that's Ray Kurzweil. You're talking about not a total singularity, but the equivalent to singularities within different markets.
Yes.
Well, you can have the greatest software and the greatest hardware, but who's going to even know how to understand it or properly use it? And the answer is, well, we have more complex computers that know how to do that. But at a certain point, who can deny that what you're saying is true, and who can deny that it ends in something very bad? And that's why the globalists said back in the 60s, with technology, we're not going to need any people. And the debate runs from, do they kill us down to 500 mil? And that's how they sold the earlier groups, so the elitist and the petty elitist and scientists would feel like they'll be part of that group. Now the movement's leading towards maybe we'll have 50,000 people. And then others are saying, no, you're too conservative. We must exterminate all humans. And it's like a nihilistic, anti-human, power-tripping thing with these hyper-decadent elites who the women, the power, the jets, they're not into it anymore. They like that dark beauty of burning cities and dead bodies and maggots crawling all over children. And that's who runs things, and they're going to manifest that here. So I hope everybody enjoys it. Because if they have their way, you're all dead.
I can understand that perfectly. But, you know, there's a whole group of entrepreneurs, inventors that are back in the 70s that saw this that are working very, very hard to make new products, to generate new jobs, and I'm one of those. So there's tons of people out there that listen to you, and they're out there seeing this whole thing because we all heard it in the 70s and late 60s saying, hey, we're going to have to make new jobs and make more jobs for more people to have people have honor out there.
I agree, but the globalists are trying. That's what I'm saying. We could do anything together. We could create any economy. It's unlimited. So the globalists on record say they don't want that. They're artificially bringing in tax structures and other systems and using China as a black hole to unbalance everything so that you can't properly deploy those and create those jobs. Every time you really try to create new economies, notice how the system rushes in to put in rules and laws to block you from effectively doing that in a Western first world nation. Because it's not share the wealth with China and India. It's bring everybody down. And that's the big globalist lie, is they say they're doing all this to raise everybody up. But when you really finally get to their bottom line literature, it's what O'Brien, torturing Winston Smith in 1984, says to him, and he goes, it's about trampling people and being trampled on, Winston. It's power for power's sake. We're not going to have a society that gets more beautiful and more refined. We're going to have one that gets more brutal and more dumbed down. Someday we won't even be able to talk, Winston. It's about pressing on the nerve of power, Winston. It's about wallowing in death and destruction. It's about the worst running everything.
Well, on that happy note, by the way, everybody, this is KSCO, Dr. Corey Gold. My guest is Alex Jones. Got a question. Have you seen this show? It's on, running on the History Channel, runs almost every day, called The World Without People.
I've seen the ads for it, yeah. And there's all this pre-programming about it's collapsing, it's coming. And then when the globalists collapse the economy for the post-industrial society, while they're in their high-tech reservations with a life extension and the rest of it, we'll just expect it because we were given that narrative.
Well, because the show says 20 years after people are gone, all the infrastructure falls. And they show you the buildings falling down. And in its place, trees start growing.
And the guy that wrote that book that it's based on, I have read the book, it's all how wonderful this would be.
Right, because after about 100 years, all our stuff is gone. And all there are is bunny rabbits and, cows and elephants running around where we used to be. This is Dr. Corey Gold. We'll be back right after this. KSCO Santa Cruz, thanks for listening in.
Welcome to Automated Computer Services, America's most drawn-out tech support line. One moment, please.
For a full listing of our personnel, press 1. Please enter the person's full name, starting with their last, then their first, followed by their bank account number and their birth date. I'm sorry, there is nobody here by that name. For a full listing of our staff, press 1. To speak with a customer service representative, press 2. Thank you. Your current wait time is 4 hours and 37 minutes. Please enjoy the music.
Tired of unfriendly computer support? Slow computer? Viruses? Spyware? No problem. Call the friendly computer experts at User Friendly Computing. We take care of all your PC, Macintosh, and laptop needs. Mention KSCO and get a free $50 diagnostic. Visit us today at 505 River Street on the way to downtown Santa Cruz, across from Gateway Plaza. We give you a choice. Drop your computer by the shop, or we'll come to you. Call us today at 423-9653. User Friendly Computing.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA, America's Wireless Companies, and the National Safety Council.
Coast to Coast AM, coming to a universe near you tonight.
Coast to Coast is one of those programs that deals with strange mysteries. We'll look at Bigfoot. We'll look at UFOs. We'll look at real science. And we'll also look at conspiracies and what it all means to you, the listeners of Coast to Coast AM.
Warp Drive for the Mind. Coast to Coast AM. Tonight at 10 p.m. on KSCO.
Welcome back, and thanks for listening in. Dr. Corey Gold, glad to be with you here. KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1080, and thanks all of you who are listening on KSCO.com. With us in studio today, we're very happy to have Alex Jones, one of the most interesting people on the planet today. When they do their next 100 most interesting people on the planet, you've got to be on that list.
Yeah, but the system puts out who they want you to think is interesting.
So Brad Pitt for the 100th time, and Angelina Jolie.
Isn't it interesting?
And
he's getting collagen injections.
Is he really?
I don't know.
I thought I might go The View on you today and walk out in the middle of this. I'm just kidding. I did a whole show on how they walked out on Bill O'Reilly and how
I think that was staged.
It had to be. That was one of the most ridiculous things. You invite a person onto a television show, you know his worldview, you know where he stands on things, you ask him the question, where do you stand on something, know what he's going to say, and then walk out when he says what you know he's going to say. Why invite him onto the show if you don't want to make a silly
I didn't watch that. Did he just keep talking? That's what I'd have done.
Yeah, he did. Thank God. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg and I can't remember the other woman's name, thank goodness, walk out of the stage after they ask Bill
O'Reilly. Who's the French guy on the air on Saturdays? He keeps calling them fat women. fat women.
Oh, you mean on our station here?
The mindless fat women.
Jacques Delacroix?
The blobs. very stupid.
Let's go back. Let's go phones. We're at 831-479-1080. Thor in Monterey. What a great name that is.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Corey. It was a great meeting you last night at the event. And, Alex, that was an incredible show you had. I was actually the last person to be able to ask you questions last night. And I had the question about smart meters. And just want to kind of follow up with that and want to find out from you what you think we can do to try to
you tell the government. Well, I remember 3-4 years ago, or now 5, time flies. California's like, oh, we're going to put these meters in your house just to see the power. We would never cut it off or spy on you. Now it's like, of course we're going to cut control you. I mean,
right.
That's freedom. And then all the major appliances are coming out, for those that don't know, where the government, even off wireless systems out in the street, will control them and monitor what you're doing. This is the control grid. And I remember seeing plans by the federal government in the 80s. They wanted to make your TVs, even when it was broadcast, flip on for emergency broadcast. This very building, Corey was telling me, and I remember reading about these being built down the coastlines from Portland, Oregon, down to here, that with the bomb shelter under the radio station as part of a continuity of government program when this facility was first built. So that's just an example of how this is all out there. And now they're using this system to surveil everybody. And for those that don't know, Google admits they watch you over the cameras and microphones built into your computers. And, right. It came out in major cities that, oh, they're watching everybody over their laptops. The schools are, when the kids are disrobing, we're doing this for your safety. The school is now watching you in your bedroom. And they just come out freedom.
I recommend putting, if you have a laptop with a camera, like put tape over it or something, because even though you think it's off, you have no guarantee of it.
What I did is I created a little scene. I actually created a little picture, and I said, uh-huh. This station is not in progress at this moment in front of my camera. I'm not currently broadcasting. So thanks for tuning in. I'll see that picture.
But, I mean, think about the magnitude of that. I'm not making that up, that it's on record, that Google says they have software to watch and listen to you through your cameras, and then schools come out and say, yeah, we're watching kids, and they release photos of the children sleeping in their beds at home with the government-issued laptops. I mean, that's 1984 on steroids, and people just go, oh, that's the way it is. It's freedom. Thank heaven the government's watching me at home. That's freedom. Are you with Al-Qaeda, Mr. Gold?
The other concern,
and by the way,
too,
you know, the reason, one of the reasons they know about that is one of the vice principals brought the kid in, thought he was taking drugs. He was taking Mike and Ike candies, which, by the way, Mike and Ike are good. And the kid was taking candies. They brought him in and said, "We know you're taking drugs. We saw you on camera taking drugs in your own house through the Apple computer that we were happy to give you for free while we spied on you." By the way, the outcome of that was a $680,000 fine against the Marion County School District in Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
So, Thor, thank you. Did you have another question that follow up on that?
Oh, I just was going to say it's not just the government, though, because you also, you know, with these smart meters, it's wireless technology. You can have hackers going around and, you know, seeing what your usage is, and they could.
That's like, you know, RFID in the passports, yeah, and driver's license.
So they're going to know what time you get up in the morning based on when you turn the coffee maker on and turn the lights on and all that. And
these smart chips know exactly what you're doing. I mean exactly, yeah, how much is being used, and then they can turn your. In fact, they've got old folks' homes now where the government gives them discounts on their rent if they will agree to live in a smart house where what they eat is monitored, everything's being watched. They're beta testing this now, and then social workers come if you're not eating properly, and come on, honey, we're going to take you to the hospice. We're going to kill you, because Bill Gates
says the criminals
says,
are going to know when you're on vacation, and they'll know when to loot your house. So
tough love, government tough love.
Well, Bill Gates said, yeah, "Hey, teachers, you want jobs? Kill Granny."
Yeah.
And that's loving.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Thor. That's tough love. That's what I'm telling you. To love you, we have to kill you. That's
no. It's. I mean, come on. Listen, Mr. Gold. We, you know, if you kill one old woman, we get 10 jobs. See, they're selling that idea. Kill people, get money. They're limiting our economy instead of growing our economy by design.
Let's head out and talk to Odessa, who's been holding for 45 minutes. Odessa, welcome.
Hi.
Hey,
is it me?
Congratulations for holding for 45 minutes. You're due your time.
You guys are really trying to run me ragged.
We are. Your wife said give him the business while he's here.
I was planning on. I was going to give you a hard time because when I called, I said, how long will the wait be? And the guy told me 1 minute.
Well, 1 minute, 45 minutes, it's all relative. In government standings, we're very close.
True story. I just want to thank Alex for coming yesterday. That was, so I was in New Mexico on a mission trip, and my friend calls me and says, are you going to buy tickets to Alex? And I went, what? Because we knew you were coming, but we didn't know when. So in New Mexico, I sat down at the computer and I bought my tickets. I didn't even know who I was going to bring.
And did you have a good time last night?
We had so much. I videotaped a bunch. I had three cameras going because they kept dying on us.
Three cameras? You sound like you're a production studio. Odessa, did you get any good pictures of me? That's what I want to know. No, I know.
Yes,
you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I walked over and I got a picture of you and I got a picture of Kay. Do you remember me?
I do now.
You have that card I gave you.
Hey, going back here, she's got a crush on you, Mr. Gold. Going back to the event, there were hundreds of cameras. So I guarantee you can go up to YouTube and, like, search the term Alex Jones in Santa Cruz, and it'll pop up for you.
Oh, yes. Now, I gave Corey Gold a card to give to you yesterday.
I gave them all to Ted. So everybody who gave me things, I have all passed them on to Ted.
So okay, Ted had two business cards and a little prayer card.
And I gave him the prayer card this morning, and I gave him your two cards, as well,
okay,
as many other people who gave me things to pass on to Alex.
Now, a year and a half ago, my husband tells me there's a guy on his name, Alex Jones, you need to listen to him. When I first started listening to Alex Jones, I got so caught and picking mad at him. At you, Alex. But my husband was very consistent, and he said, you need to listen. He called me at work from work. And tell me to put on Alex Jones. So I go, okay, I'm putting on Alex. And then at some point, I started calling him saying, are you listening to Alex? And because I've always felt what he's feeling. I know that need inside to get your knowledge out that you don't feel like you're getting it out at the same time. You just need to go and say it all at once. And nobody listens.
So you feel that he's putting those words out there that you're feeling.
Exactly.
There you go.
And it's just, you know, when I talk to my friends here, they go, well, who's he? And I'm like, oh, go to KSCO and listen to him at night.
Tonight. Okay, well, you're very sweet, but let's not talk about me anymore. My gosh, I can't handle this. This is like solid torture.
We got about 1 minute to go, so if you have a quick question, go ahead.
I do. Where in your mind's eye is the safest place in the United States to live?
You know what? I don't know. I know a lot of the elite live up in Jackson Hole and Montana and Idaho and places like that.
Shouldn't you live where they live? Wouldn't that be the smartest place to live, next door to Bill Gates or something?
Yes.
Wherever Bill Gates is at any time. It's not like Heart to Heart, that TV show Heart to Heart. Wherever they went, you don't want to go. Because when next to Heart to Heart, people get killed all over the place and they solve who murdered them. So if you see the Heart to Heart people come, leave. But if you see Bill Gates, stand very close because he's probably safe.
I actually agree with that.
There you go. Logic, that's what you got to go with. And, what do you think about, going about only about 40 seconds here? Because I know that every time I've listened to your show, you've talked about nonviolence. Yet everybody who doesn't know your show talks about you advocate violence. How is that possible?
It's just a big lie. I mean, it's like if you don't want socialist health care, you don't like black people. It's just a cheap throwaway line. They don't respect people, so they just give people cheap lies. But that's why the establishment media has no credibility and is falling apart. That doesn't mean the alternative media is perfect, but we're truly diverse. And, we need to not have violence. Oh, that's racist. I mean, it's a disconnect from reality, and it's not going to work. So that's the end of it.
All right, that's the first hour, and Alex Jones, we've got some surprise guests for you in the next hour. Thanks for listening on KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1080. Back right after this.
News Radio, Lisa Brady. Local police, far from just local anymore.
Every police department in this country must now see itself as part of the frontline forces fighting the threats from terrorism.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano also telling an international police chiefs conference in Orlando, intelligence should flow between federal, state, and local forces to combat terrorism. An accused teenage terrorist who's now a man now admits he killed a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan. Omar Khadr's guilty plea aimed at avoiding a life sentence. It also stops a military trial that was to start today at Guantanamo Bay. The president of Afghanistan says nothing to see here, insisting there is nothing sinister about aid from Iran.
This is something that I have also discussed with even when we were at Camp David with President Bush. This is nothing hidden.
President Hamid Karzai says, like aid from other countries, the Iranian money helps to rebuild Afghanistan. The foreclosure mess in the U.S. under one more microscope. The Fed launching a probe. Fox News Radio's Jill Nato, live in Washington.
Lisa, Federal Reserve Chair Ben Bernanke putting mortgage companies on notice.
The federal banking agencies are working together to complete an in-depth review of practices at the largest mortgage servicing operations.
The Fed joining attorneys general from all 50 states.
Seeking to determine whether systematic weaknesses are leading to improper foreclosures.
Companies like Bank of America and GMAC put a temporary halt to foreclosures after staffers admitted they weren't actually looking at foreclosure paperwork. Lisa?
Well, Jill, federal programs designed to help struggling homeowners avoiding foreclosure, helping fewer than 400 overall, according to one new watchdog report. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Here's a wake-up call for contractors. The Home Depot has made a special buy on Owens Corning R19 15-inch unfaced insulation. Just $10.44 per roll. At that price, you get the number one brand in insulation for just 29 cents a square foot. And savings like that can help you lower your bids, which can help you win more jobs, which is a great way to start the day. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
These days, everyone has an opinion. It's so hard to get two people to agree on anything that when you find 1 million people who agree, it's kind of surprising. Well, 1 million small business owners have agreed to trust their payroll to Intuit Payroll. 1 million. That's more than any other payroll provider. They make it so easy to create your paychecks. You just type in the hours and Intuit Payroll does the rest. So, go ahead. You've got a million reasons to give them a shot. Get a 30-day free trial of Intuit Online Payroll at Intuit.com. That's Intuit.com.
The following is a CEO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
An open letter to President Obama. Mr. President, 2 years ago when we the people learned that you would become our president, for me it was a night of mixed strong emotions. A part of me was apprehensive because you had honestly responded to Plumber Joe when he asked you why you were planning to take part of his earnings, and you replied that you intended to spread the wealth. you were planning a socialist government. I loved my government just the way it was, so I knew I could not vote for you. Too bad that you did not leave the issue there. Instead, within 24 hours, like Chicago gangsters, your buddy scrutinized Plumber Joe's personal background and came up with some unnecessary private information, which was promptly broadcast to the country, and it was a clear message to we the people to be very careful how we shoot our mouths off. That, Mr. Obama, is dirty, it's not democratic, and it's not presidential. That same evening of your success, a part of me swelled with pride to be able to live and see how far our country has come since the 1920s, when I was a child and black-skinned people were treated very badly. In that first open letter to you, I concluded with, quote, Mr. President-elect, you are now my president, and I really want you to succeed, so please don't blow it, unquote. Mr. President, you blew it in a matter of weeks. Because of the bad condition of our economy, you frantically urged the new Congress to vote quickly into law an enormous stimulus amount of money, guaranteeing that it would pull us out of our depression, and you promised that the Congress and we the people would surely get a chance to read the law before it was voted on. You lied. We the people never got a chance to read it. Probably the Congress didn't either. The stimulus bill became a dismal failure, and you became a liar in the eyes of your constituents. When jobs was the paramount issue and still is, you turned your back and focused on an expensive universal health care bill. And now, 2 years later, many Americans are still jobless while you played footsie with weak members of Congress to whom you gave enormous perks